If we're going to recover from this pandemic, we need to do what small businesses do to be successful, and that's create opportunities, adapt, and evolve to meet our changing world.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable healthcare.
In this episode, Business Forward and Small Business for America's Future hosted Administrator Isabella Casillas Guzman of the U.S. Small Business Administration and Bharat Ramamurthy, Deputy Director of the National Economic Council, for a briefing and Q&A on the American Jobs Plan and American Families Plan. They answered questions from business leaders across the country on topics from procurement opportunities and infrastructure investment to making the tax code fair for small businesses. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Small Business for America's Future, Business Forward, the U.S. Small Business Administration, and the White House for this business leader briefing on the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan. And now I'd like to turn the program over to my colleague, Renee.
Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Johnson with Small Business for America's Future. The Business Forward team, Small Business for America's Future, and our more than 30 business organization partners are pleased to host the White House and the SBA for this important briefing. Our series of briefings with members of the Biden-Harris administration provides small business leaders like you a seat at the table to share what's most important to you. So we're glad to have you here. We'd also like to thank the many local and state organizations for engaging and inviting their members, including the Hispanic, Black, AAPI, Native, Indigenous, LGBTQ, and women chambers across the country. Without further ado, I would like to introduce you to our moderator for today's webinar, Ann Zimmerman, CPA, a small business owner, Chamber of Commerce leader, and co-chair of Small Business for America's Future. Thank you for joining us today, Ann.
Thank you, Renee. As a small business owner, a local business leader, and co-chair of the Small Business for America's Future Group, I can tell you this is a challenging time for Main Street. Today's event couldn't be any more timely to discuss the current issues policymakers are grappling with that affect Main Street. Today, we hope to cover a general economic update, the American Jobs and Family Plan, and as any good CPA would, I want to drill down on a few questions about taxes. Before we kick it off, I want to note that yesterday, Small Business for America's Future released a survey of our network that clearly showed they want action to keep the economic recovery going. 80% of the small business owners we surveyed support America's job plan. It's clear that small business owners see investment as a really important part of our economic recovery. Moreover, when asked how we should finance it, our research shows that small business employers do support increasing corporate taxes to pay for it. The respondents say they think the American Jobs Plan will be good for the economy broadly and for small businesses in particular. And still, we know there are a lot of questions. With all that is going on in the country today, opportunities like this one to hear directly from our country's leadership about their plans are critical. So today, we'll spend some time discussing these issues with our special guest. With that, it's my pleasure to introduce our very special guest, the SBA Administrator, Isabella Guzman, serves as our 27th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration and was sworn in March of this year. Administrator Guzman represents the more than 30 million U.S. small businesses and is committed to help small business owners and entrepreneurs start, grow, and be resilient. A lifelong proponent of small businesses, Guzman grew up as the daughter of a small business owner and learned at his very young age how important small businesses are to the communities they serve, the people they employ, and the economies they help power. With that, Administrator, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Anne, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you here again today. I appreciate our continued partnership and all that you do for our nation's small businesses and gathering to have these important conversations. Thank you to Business Forward, Small Business for America's Future team as well, just for continuously working hard to host these briefings. I know that continuous flow of information is helpful to our small businesses, and it's a very critical role that you play with us. So let's keep this up. I'm also really pleased to see that today's briefing will include Bharat Ramamurthy from the National Economic Council, the deputy there. Thanks, Bharat, for always joining these briefings as well. It's really valuable. The survey results that Anne just shared are telling. An overwhelming majority of small business owners think the American Jobs Plan would be good for our economy. And small business owners know that raising taxes on wealthy corporations to pay their fair share isn't just the right thing to do. It's also good for growing our economy from the bottom up and the middle out, as President Biden says. Small businesses know what's good for our economy because they are our economy. They're the giants of our economy. And if we're going to recover from this pandemic, we need to do what small businesses do to be successful. And that's create opportunities, adapt and evolve to meet our changing world, and invest what works for all of us. The $2 trillion American Jobs Plan would do all of that. It is a once in a generation investment in America that allows us, as we rebuild, to reimagine a new economy while finally addressing the needs of an aging infrastructure, creating millions of good jobs, and positioning the US to outcompete China. But even more, the American Jobs Plan will allow us to tap our American-made ingenuity to rebuild in ways that gives everybody a chance to succeed and allows us as well to combat the climate change and tackle longstanding and persistent racial injustice. It is a bold investment in America's future because, as President Biden has said, we can't just return to where we were before the pandemic. We need to build our country and economy back better. And at the SBA, I'm committed to helping our nation's small businesses build back better. Right now, we are focused on delivering the American Rescue Plan, billions of dollars in relief. That's critical. We're still in a disaster. And I'm proud to say that we successfully launched the $28.6 billion Restaurant Revitalization Fund over just last week. We received more than 265,000 applications, representing over $65 billion in requested funds. And so far, we've been able to put out $2.7 billion of that into the hands of these food and beverage businesses, more than 21,000 of them, owned by women, veterans, and people of color, those who are socially and economically disadvantaged, who did receive that priority access from the program via Congress. And we are reaching the smallest of the small businesses through this program, with one-third of the total funds set aside just for them. This program really demonstrates my priorities that I've implemented within that of meeting our businesses where they are and integrating a customer-first, technology-driven, and equitable approach to all of our programs at the SBA. And with PPP and EIDL, we've now gone beyond $1 trillion in relief. And so far in 2021, 95% of the PPP loans that we've issued have gone to small businesses with fewer than 20 employees. Funds remain on PPP through the end of the month, accessible through the community financial institutions. So those are a lot of your mission-based lenders, your community development financial institutions, or your minority depository institutions, your minority banks, or your CDCs. And so make sure that you contact the SBA for assistance to try to connect to these important lenders in our community. We want to make sure that these funds get into the hands of businesses who need it the most. The immediate relief is critically important, but we also need to be looking to the future and our nation's economic recovery with equity as our focus. The path forward must include opportunities for all of us. To get there, we've got to eliminate those historic barriers that have existed to accessing capital or markets or networks even that have left our smallest businesses and our businesses owned by women and people of color behind, really set them up to suffer disproportionately from the pandemic in terms of their resilience. These businesses could be a driving force in our economy even more than they already are if their opportunities were not limited. And the American Jobs Plan puts them at the forefront by rewarding work, not wealth, and ensuring that the tools small businesses need to succeed are available for all. It increases access to capital for small businesses by injecting $20 billion in funding into SBA through our 7A loan program, as well as our Small Business Investment Company or SBIC program, both of which I'm committed to leveraging better for increased equity and to support the American Jobs Plan's strategic investments in manufacturing and infrastructure and clean energy. We're also, though, looking at our other tools at our disposal to ensure that capital gets to our underserved businesses, as clearly it has not been working as efficiently as it could do, as it could to reach these businesses. Too often, underserved businesses have had trouble accessing financing via traditional lenders. So we're continuing to look at all options, including direct lending by the SBA to the smallest businesses. The American Jobs Plan also gives small businesses more opportunities to sell their products and services to Uncle Sam, the world's largest buyer, and participate in billions of additional investments in federal R&D. SBA powers the SBIR and STTR programs, the Small Business Innovation Research and Small Business Tech Transfer programs. And we want to ensure that small and minority-owned businesses receive the support they need to take advantage of these opportunities. The American Jobs Plan would invest to allow SBA to create a national network of small business incubators, innovation hubs, and technical assistance partners. The SBA is committed to building a future that gives all entrepreneurs the tools they need to recover, grow, and be resilient, and in the process, drive our economy forward as they do so well. We know that President Biden's American Jobs Plan will help us achieve that. America's entrepreneurial spirit built this country, and now is the time to tap it. The SBA looks forward to being a supportive partner to our nation's entrepreneurs and help build an equitable economy that works for everyone. So I know that we're going to dive into more information. So just want to thank you for all that you do for your communities, your main streets, the supply chains and industry that propel our economy, and for innovation. So thank you all so much.
Wow. What an amazing time to be a small business and part of this. Going forward with this kind of support. Thank you so much, Administrator Guzman. Now to our last special guest before we begin our question and answer period, Bharat Ramamurthy. Bharat is the Deputy Director of the National Economic Council at the White House. He is a graduate of Harvard College and Yale Law School, and formerly the Managing Director of the Corporate Power Program at the Roosevelt Institute. In April 2020, Mr. Ramamurthy was appointed a member of the Congressional Oversight Commission for the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES, to oversee spending. Bharat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Anne, and thanks everyone for joining us today. And thank you to the administrator for her comments. I want to address one aspect of the president's plans, which is taxes. So there has been a lot of discussion about what the president's agenda, what the president's plans would mean for the taxes that small business owners pay, and what it would mean for the competitiveness of small businesses relative to some of the larger competitors that they may have. So the first point I want to make is that the president has proposed an increase in the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%, which brings us back about halfway to where we were in 2016 and 2017 when the corporate tax rate was 35%. If your small business files its taxes as a pass-through entity, so as an LLC or your sole proprietorship, or it's a partnership, that corporate tax increase has no effect on your taxes. And as we know, the vast majority of small businesses file taxes in one of those forms. The president has also proposed returning the very top income tax rate to the level that it was at the beginning of the previous administration, which is about a 2.5% increase. That applies to every dollar earned over about $500,000 for couples and about $425,000 for an individual. According to calculations run by the Treasury Department, fewer than 3% of small business owners are going to be affected by that change. So overall, under the president's plans, 97%, more than 97% of small business owners are not going to see any change in their taxes. On the flip side, what the president has proposed is trying to level the playing field for small business owners. So it came out maybe about a month ago that 55 extremely profitable, large, basically Fortune 500 companies had paid literally zero taxes on a combined $40 billion in income. Another data point that came out recently is that in 2018, US multinational corporations paid an effective tax rate of 8%. And so I don't have to tell you, as a typical small business owner, the taxes that you are paying are probably going to be higher than 8%. And so what the president is trying to do is close down these loopholes that allow these very largest corporations to get away with paying extraordinarily low taxes, and which make it, frankly, harder for small businesses like yours to compete on a level playing field. And that's why, in part, I imagine, based on some of the polling that has come out recently, the overwhelming majority of small business owners say that big corporations don't pay their fair share of taxes, and they would support an increase on taxes on those biggest corporations. And so I just wanted to set the record straight on that point, because I think it's an important one, and obviously one that I imagine a lot of the folks on this call are focused on. As the administrator said, and I don't want to repeat her, I want to make sure we have plenty of time for questions. The administration is doing a lot to, number one, deliver relief to small businesses in the short term. As she mentioned, the PPP has delivered about $300 billion worth of relief in the first couple of months of the administration. The restaurants program is set to deliver another nearly $30 billion worth of relief. There's a program for shuttered live event venues that is going to deliver more than $10 billion worth of relief in the days and weeks ahead. And the president has proposed other measures to make sure that not only are small businesses surviving during this ongoing crisis, but are able to come out the other side and grow and expand. So, for example, he has put $10 billion behind a small business opportunity fund, which would provide working capital for small businesses to expand. And that should be available come the fall. He's proposed a small business incubator program as part of his jobs plan that would set up incubators across the country so that an entrepreneur can go in, have one-stop shopping for developing a business plan, getting access, finding local sources of capital, connecting with other small business owners that can form a valuable network. We want to make sure that no matter where you live in this country, you will be able to take a great idea, turn it into a great small business, and grow that small business. So that's the vision that the president has. Small businesses are very near and dear to his heart. And he has been laser focused on making sure that, number one, we are delivering relief in an equitable way to small business owners. And number two, that investment in small businesses is a core part of each of our economic plans. So with that, I'll turn it back over and happy to take some questions.
Thanks so much, Barak. I know we are really tight on time today, but I can tell you that the survey that Small Business for America's Future just released yesterday absolutely enforces what you just said, that small businesses are on board and want to have the burden shared by large businesses. I know, again, because we're tight on time, but I do see that we have a lot of questions regarding how to still be able to access the Paycheck Protection Program. So I'd like to make sure I point out that the SBA's website has links to CDFIs and small business lenders that still are doing new PPP loans. So for all of those asking how to get started, time is almost up. We have 2 weeks left. If the money doesn't run out, go to sba.gov, click on Help Me with PPPs. It's very easy to go through. But Barak, can you provide us with an update on the Paycheck Protection Program for all the businesses on here? And maybe a quick one on the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. Is there still money? Can people still get in there and help themselves with that?
Sure. So I think you covered a lot of it. And so on Paycheck Protection Program, the deadline for applying is the end of May. So you've got a little bit over 2 weeks left You know, there's a little bit less than $10 billion left, roughly speaking, available. But the way that the program was designed and the way that Congress designed it, the money that's remaining can only be accessed through a community financial institution. So that's a CDFI or minority depository institution. So if you know someone or if you yourself are looking for a Paycheck Protection Program second round loan, you can access one through a community development financial institution or other community financial institution. And SBA, as you noted, Anne, has some resources available as to how to track those types of institutions down. The restaurants program launched last Monday. There was overwhelming demand for the program, which we were glad to see. I think SBA did a fantastic job of making it extraordinarily easy to apply. I think on average, or at least it was possible to go to the SBA website, fill out an application, submit a few forms, and be done in under half an hour. There is still money remaining in the program, but the way that the money was reserved meant that the money that's available is only available for very small restaurants at this point. So if you, or again, you know somebody who ran a restaurant, a bar, a food truck, something like that, that had under $50,000 in revenue in 2019, those would be eligible to get relief through the program at this point. Other types of restaurants at this point, it's there's not enough money left for those types of restaurants to get support at this point. Of course, you know, Congress could decide to add more money to the program or change the rules of the program going forward. We don't know yet. The Congress just got back into session, so those discussions are probably going to be ongoing.
Yeah. You know, I've had a couple clients just this week, and I noticed one question here in the chat, Bharat, where large banks are telling their clients that there is no PPP money left because they can't loan it anymore. I even had a number that have just been left hanging. They had applied, their money's out, they think they're out of luck. And two of those that I know of this week were able to go to a CDFI online, 30 minutes maybe, do an application. And it was submitted to the SBA within 24 hours. So don't give up. Don't give up if you're a small business. Go to the online SBA.gov and find a lender who is lending. Brought a recent survey by Small Business for America's Future shows an overwhelming 8 in 10 small business owners, 80% surveyed, are in favor of the American Jobs Plan. Are you able to tell us just a few things that it really does to help small businesses?
Sure. So I named one of them in my opening remarks, which was it ensures that small businesses get a larger share of procurement dollars, right? So there's going to be significant investments that the government is going to be making in various forms of infrastructure. You know, we want small businesses to be part of those supply chains. And so if you're a small manufacturer, if you work with manufacturers or you know, folks who are involved in housing construction or, you know, fiber optics or so on, there's going to be opportunities for small business contracting that way. Another aspect of it was the incubators part, which was going to make sure that, you know, spread these incubators across the country, make sure that entrepreneurs, you know, in rural areas, on tribal lands, in small cities are still going to have the same types of opportunities as folks who may live in bigger cities with more resources available to them. A third big part is universal broadband. So we've heard over and over again how a lack of access to high quality, high speed, reliable broadband internet can be a real barrier for folks trying to start a small business, trying to grow a small business. You know, the data show that something like 30 million Americans, and I think it's something like 35% of rural households don't have access to high speed broadband internet. You know, the president's plan makes a significant infrastructure investment to make sure that by 2030, every single household in America will have access to high-speed, high-quality broadband internet, which I think will do great things for small businesses and for entrepreneurs across the country. So there's a lot in the jobs plan. There's more investments that I haven't gotten a chance to talk about, but There's a lot of different elements in there that should be helpful for small businesses and small business owners.
I know, and I'm sorry we don't have more time today. I do know we are working with the White House and the SBA to put on some longer, more detailed webinars to be able to really dig into some of these tax questions. I did a little calculating yesterday, as I always do, being a CPA. That's my relaxing time. And I think somewhere around 98.5% to 99% of the small business owners on this call today will not be affected by the increase in the corporate tax rate. And, you know, up until 17, when the Tax Cuts Act came in, small business owners that made less than $75,000, even if they were a C Corp, after their salary, actually got a tax increase from that. Nobody ever talked about that. Yep. To me, that's essential. You know, I'd love to see us take a look at that graduated rate for the first $100,000, $75,000. Whatever. But Bharat, as we wrap up, because I know we're running out of time, why these plans and why now? Or can you tell us what are the president's plan to get these two plans, the jobs and family, passed through Congress with the tight margins we're dealing with?
Yeah. So I think the reason for why now is these are problems. Let's look at the jobs plan, for example. These are problems that both Democrats and Republicans and independents have been talking about for a really long time. And we've been talking about the bad condition of our roads and our bridges for a long time. We've been talking about the unreliability of our electric and our power grid for a long time. You know, the Department of Energy looked at it and found that it costs us $70 billion a year, these power outages, because we don't have a resilient power grid. The broadband internet, data that I mentioned before about how there's this disparate access to broadband depending on where you live in the country. These are problems that folks have been talking about for a long time. They are holding back our economy. They are making it harder for the United States to compete globally, to compete with countries like China that are making huge investments in their infrastructure while we are sitting around and waiting. And so, you know, that's why the president is committed to making sure that now is the time that we finally address these problems. He is committed to working with Democrats, with Republicans, to try and find areas of common ground to make it happen. He just hosted several Republican Senate leaders in the Oval Office for more than an hour yesterday to talk through the details of his plan. He's met with Democratic leadership in the Oval Office. He is really committed to finding a path forward on these issues so that we can make the kinds of transformative investments that are necessary in this country. You know, on the families plan, same thing. You know, we are one of the only countries in the world that does not offer paid family and medical leave. The only countries in the world. We know the data is overwhelming that getting kids into high quality pre-K, three and 4 year olds, has long term positive impacts, right? By making these investments, by making sure that we have universal pre-K so that every 3 and 4 year old can go to get a high quality education, by finally putting in place 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave, paid for by the government, by the way, no burden on employers, we can finally start giving our families a little bit more financial security and frankly, catching up to the rest of the world that has been offering these kinds of things for folks for a long time. So, this is the core of the president's Build Back Better agenda, right? We have to get through the pandemic. We have to make sure that we get through the public health crisis and the economic crisis. But getting back to where we were in the beginning of last year isn't good enough. You know, there are these longstanding problems, and he thinks that we've got an opportunity now to address them.
Okay. Thank you so much. I see we're running out of time. I really want to thank Administrator Guzman and Bharat for joining us here today. And now I'd like to turn it over to Elizabeth Fairchild of Business Forward, one of our partners, for a few closing remarks. Liz?
Thank you. So we want to thank the Administrator Guzman, Bharat Ramamurthy, and Ann Zimmerman for moderating today's conversation. I'd also like to thank the more than 30 business organization partners who co-hosted today's briefing, along with the teams at Small Business for America's Future and Business Forward. And finally, thank you all to the small business leaders who joined us today, submitted questions, and were chatting today through the chat function. If you have a specific question you'd like answered by the SBA, please email answerdesk@sba.gov, and we look forward to working with you all again soon. Thank you again.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.